We're here this morning to give glory to God and give Him thanks for all His faithfulness for these last 17 years. I mean, it's hard to believe that 17 years ago, this little church started in Marion Ziegler's den. He's going to talk about that a little bit later on. But we are so thankful to Him for being with us every step of the way. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, all God's promises are yes in Jesus Christ. And we've heard a lot of yeses along the way. There have been some hard things, but there have been a lot of yeses along the way. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time, and we're going to do a responsive reading. And so if you would, let's stand together. Now, this wasn't planned, but this verse actually says on the 24th day. It's the 24th day, okay? Go figure. Now, on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with earth on their heads. And all the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day. For another quarter of it, they made confession and worshiped the Lord their God. You are the Lord, you alone. This is where y'all come in. It says congregation, okay? I'm sorry. You are the Lord, you alone. You have made the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth, and then all that is in them, the seas, and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. Dave, would you come and lead us in our morning prayer?
Let's pray. Awesome Lord, we do come to you in praise and thanksgiving. You have blessed this body tremendously, awesomely, only the way that you could do it. Father, we just give you that praise and thanksgiving now. You are worthy to receive it. Father, the only thing that I can think of is to ask. It comes with a thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for forgiving us our sins. We thank you for cleansing us. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his blood that washes us clean. Oh, Father, and it only gets better. It only gets better. Father, as we celebrate this day, I look for your return. I look for your return and the promise that you said that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I do that, I'm coming back. Father, stir that hope in our hearts. That would be my prayer. Stir it. I thank you now in the mighty, mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You can be seated. The passage that we just read together, that Clay led us in, is especially significant for us at Salt and Light, and especially at this juncture in our history, because let me just kind of give you the context, and then we'll move through. But the people of Israel have been in exile in Babylon for several decades, and like 6 or 7 decades at this point. God was leading them. He was dealing with them and leading leaders to step up and to lead them back to Israel. But it wasn't quite that simple. Many of these people had grown up in a foreign land. They've been in exile in Babylon, in Persia, for generations now. And only the older people remembered, and even they had not had a place to worship. They'd not had access to the law of God, to the word of God, and it had taken its toll. I'm sure deep in their hearts they had some sense of who they were, and yet they didn't have the real grip that they needed on the worship of God. They were demoralized. They were disorganized. They were defeated. Even if they went back, and for the few who went back, they found a land in disarray. They were disillusioned. They were, had to be discouraged. They were disorganized. They were defeated. The land had been pillaged and left in ruins on purpose. What had been left had been burned. The good, the leaders had been taken out. People like Daniel and those that we read about in the Old Testament who had been taken into exile as leaders. But without those walls that had been torn down especially, they had no protection. They really didn't have an identity. The walls are what gave a city and even a kingdom, what gave it its identity. Inside that walls, that was the city of God. Outside those walls, the people came to that city and to that place, and that's where the temple was. The temple had been torn down and was in ruins. It was hard. They needed leadership. They needed resources. They needed a lot of things. And without that temple, many hadn't known God's law. If they did, they have long forgotten the significance of it and what it means to be able to come together and worship God. And so about 445 B.C., Nehemiah, great leader, just significant for all believers, but especially for us. Nehemiah, being a great leader and a man that was listening to God, brought a group of Israelites from captivity with the king's permission and the king's grant, really, gave them the resources they needed. God gave Nehemiah favor in his eyes and raised him to a position of leadership. And they wouldn't have known God's law had it not been for Nehemiah leading them back from captivity, rebuilding the walls. And it wasn't easy. We read in chapter 6 about how the walls were completed. But it had taken a long time. It had taken fighting battles with people who didn't want to see Jerusalem and the people of God to rise back to power. In chapters 8 and 9, where we are this morning, where we were there in reading that passage, what's happening is that the people are having like a two-week worship service. This one won't last over 3 days, I promise you. They had about a two-week worship service where they confessed their sin. They read the law. They were convicted by God. They praised God. They asked God to help them in going forward and to bring them back together. And Ezra and Nehemiah, at one time, they were the same book and were separated later. Ezra was the leader, the more the spiritual leader. Nehemiah was the political leader, I guess you'd say. But the land had to be restored, and Nehemiah led the people in a spiritual revival as he read the law and the people confessed their sins. As priests returned and began to teach the people about the law of God, the people recommitted themselves to the Lord. They needed a place to do that. They rebuilt the temple. They had a reason to do it now, a motivation to do it. And they remembered as they read the law, that's right, we are the people of God. Salt and light. Salt and light has so many parallels with this story. All the people of God do. We've all been broken by sin. We've all been disorganized and in disarray. But the thing I love about this congregation is that God has led a group of people who were in exile, even more so maybe. Not all of us. I don't mean that as a put down. I mean it as a wonderful testimony to the goodness of God that He brought and has raised up a place and a people where all people, no matter how broken or how much, how discouraged or how beaten down or how disorganized they might be, their lives might be. People who are called by God to be the people of God, but they need leaders to teach the Word of God and need help and healing and who need a plan and a place to come together and worship. That's the redemptive purpose of God. And that's the gospel. It's where we are in Romans and how we've been in Acts right now and where we'll be continuing next week, God willing. But whether it's going to be carried forward, that's why we're here today. That's the context of what we're doing. And that's what we're going to be celebrating and moving toward in commitment. So let's worship toward that end and pray toward that end.
Who has held the earth? creation rises to behold. Behold thy God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold thy King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Given counsel to the Lord, who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? It's strong. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore the nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man. God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus Savior, risen now today. On his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come let us adore him. Adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Back to you for the blessings you granted. 2 Corinthians 1:20. The English Standard Version says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Him." It's very interesting. This past week in Celebrate Recovery, the theme was yes, saying yes to God and what He's doing. "It's through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory." The NLT translation, which is one of my favorites, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen," which means yes, "ascends to God for His glory." The NIV version says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." And what I want to share with you today is people who have helped say yes through the past 17 years to make Salt and Light what it is. I'm very grateful for the people back in 2001 and 2002 when God was dealing with me, engaged their hearts alongside me that we would create a church that would attempt to reach the unchurched. So today I want to recognize a few folks who have encouraged me along the way and helped us accomplish this. First, I'd like my wife to stand, Brenda. Had Brenda not said yes, I would have never been able to say yes to me as well as saying yes that we could move out and start this venture. I was ready several months before she was, but I knew we couldn't make it without her saying yes also. And it's very interesting that God used another man in our community, Clark Bynum. Many of you remember Clark Bynum. He is going on to be with the Lord now. But he came to First Baptist and told his story. And at the conclusion of his story, Brenda walked out of church that day and said, "Marion, let's go do what you want to do." And that scared me to death, I'll be honest with you. It really did. Next, I want to remember some individuals who were on our advisory committee. Bobby Jackson texted me a little bit ago. I was hoping he would be here today. Henry Stanford, I talked to yesterday, was one of my former pastors. Several people formed an advisory council that I put together to hold me accountable as we even ventured out to begin the notion of Salt and Light Church. One of those persons was Rodney Howard. So Rodney, wave your hand. I know y'all know Rodney. Rodney served on that advisory council. And I couldn't get any of the other guys to be here, but Rodney's here representing that group. So then we began. At that point, Rodney was pastoring Croswell Baptist Church. And Rodney said yes, that he would pray with us and diligently for us as we tried to begin a notion of how would we create a church to reach the unchurched. We began meeting in February of 2002, and I knew that God would bring someone alongside me to be the preaching pastor, because that is not my skill gift, and I recognize that, I acknowledge it. And one of Bobby Jackson's friends, Bobby came and preached, Henry Stanford came and preached. I actually preached a couple of Sundays, but I knew that if I kept on, we'd run everybody off, so I kept trying to bring these other people in. And Roger Spires showed up. Bobby Jackson said, "I got a great fishing buddy, Roger Spires. I want him to come over and speak one Sunday." Roger, stand up just a minute. So Roger's here today. Roger, I appreciate you coming. And Roger challenged me. And I explained to him, we're praying that God will send a teaching pastor to be with us. And he pointedly asked me, have you prayed all day? How are you praying? And I said, oh, I pray every day. And he said, have you given a whole day to it? And I had to shrug my shoulders and say, well, no, actually, I've not given a whole day to it. And he challenged me to give a whole day to it and to pray with him. So we set a date at his hunting lodge in over in St. Matthew, South Carolina. And we prayed the day. And that day when I came home, Clay Weeks had called and left a message. Marion, if you still haven't found anyone, I would entertain discussing the idea of being pastoring with you over in Sumter. Within a few weeks, Clay had sold his house in Ellery and moved to Sumter. That is an absolute true story. And I'm telling y'all, without the power of prayer, we wouldn't be here today, or we would not accomplish what we've accomplished. I'm just amazed at how God has done this stuff. So I want Clay and Catherine, wherever y'all are, there they are, stand right there, stand right there. If these two had not come alongside us, what would we have done? Because I'm telling you, you wouldn't have hung around for me a whole lot proclaiming the word. And Clay and Catherine said yes, and they were with us. Clay said, I probably can give you 2 years before I go to the mission field, and he gave us four. And God was doing a work then at that time. Thank you all. I appreciate that. Then after that, we left our house, and we went to the associational office building, and we met there for several years. Is Kevin Litchfield here? I didn't see him come in. Kevin, there you are, right in front of him. Stand up, Kevin. Kevin is representing our Santee Baptist Association now. He was not here then, but currently there's a church meeting in the associational building, just like we did. And Kevin is providing superb leadership. Kevin texts me every Saturday and asks me how he can pray for us. And I respond and I tell him. And it's just been a blessing to have a man like that come be a part of our body. Who I wish Daryl Gaddy was here too. He brought Daryl Gaddy with us. But Daryl's in Israel right now, and it was a little hard for him to get back for this service. But he'll be back soon, and he's already worshiped with us before. But Kevin, thank you for the leadership you continue to do and in our association. In 2002, we began reaching people with lots of needs and hurts. And Clay and I honestly were overwhelmed. It was just lots of hurts and needs, and he learned about a program called Celebrate Recovery. And we took a group down. I think we got a photo up here for that group that went with us initially to, it was either Surfside or Myrtle Beach. I know we were at the beach. And we had 18 actually start. That was the group that went to the training, but we had 18 people start. And I think 16 finished the program, which was amazing to us. I mean, that was a terribly good success rate. And we started Celebrate Recovery the fall of 2002, and we've been doing that venture ever since. And it continues to be one of our biggest front doors to reaching folks in our city. Then we learned about a church in our area. It was called Victory Baptist Church, where Wayne and Joyce Hunter were serving. Wayne was actually doing the youth ministry there. And Wayne has gone on to be with the Lord now, but Joyce is here, and she has a portrait of her husband. Amen. Joyce is now a member over at Alice Drive Church, and Joyce, you and Wayne were a blessing. We ended up getting a church bus, and they were picking up kids from behind Shore Air Force Base. And we had two nights a week we were dealing with children there. We were dealing with Celebrate Recovery. And that's kind of when it came about, we decided that, you know, we're going to have to get a building at some point, probably, for all these meetings we're having. And honestly, we were trying not to have too many meetings, but all these various groups were meeting. So we got connected with a realtor named Hugh Jackson. Hugh, stand up. Hugh was very diligent and persuaded us that we really didn't want to rent a building like I had in my brains, because I didn't want to worry about maintaining the building. We talked on the advisory council. Rodney was quite upset when he learned we were going to buy a building. He says, you're going to do what? And we were going to just rent. Well, had we rented, all that money would be down the toilet, I guess. But he talked us into securing this facility so that Plaza Church of Christ, who was in this facility, would buy Bethesda Church of God, who then Bethesda Church would go buy the Lowe's building. And it was a domino effect right here. That's what happened. And we had to say yes first for all the others to take place. And it's very interesting how all this stuff happened. David Durham, being our banker at the time and knowing how banks operate, they have this official way of wanting to do business. And we had very little resources. We'd only been in existence for 2 years. And we didn't meet hardly any qualifications. So First Citizen said no. But David came back. We kept praying. We actually came over and used this building for a baptism on a Sunday afternoon. We had a young person to be baptized. They let us use their baptistry, this one right here. And we came in and we prayer walked around the building, and we invited all our folks to come over and pray with us. Is this a wise move? Is this what God would have us do? It was a big commitment. And we had to come up with $30,000 down payment. And then we had to get five people to sign on the dotted line that if we defaulted, these five people were on the hook. And the $30,000 was out the window. All right, I want these folks to stand up. Rusty Miller, he's here today. Rusty was one of the signers. Steve Clark, David Durham, Clay Weeks, and Joyce, you'll have to represent your husband. Let's give these folks a hand. Ronnie Eldridge is here. Ronnie and I was able to help find the dollars to make that down payment. Where's Ronnie? I know Ronnie's here. Stand up, Ronnie. There you go. Ronnie, we appreciate your willingness to do that. But these people put their mouth where their money was, or put their money where their mouth was, and it worked. David, did we ever miss a payment? We never missed a payment. And what's kind of funny is David's bank said no, but then he knew a guy at Sumter National, and as we prayed, he said, "Marion, I think Sumter National will loan us the money if we come up with that down payment." And they did. Then Community Resource bought out Sumter National, and then First Citizens bought out Community Resource, and David has handled our loan for the last umpteen years. That's right. So after securing the building, not too long after that, Mary met us. I hate Mary's. Mary's not here, is she? I don't see her. I wish Mary was here. Mary explained to us, she started coming and attending, that she had never been baptized because she's confined to a wheelchair and she's handicapped. So we moved our worship service over to the YMCA and we did a baptism there. And Mary was baptized along with a couple of other people. Haley Miller was one. Steve Clark was one. David Clark, sorry. And I think this is Caitlin in the picture. Is that little Caitlin? I think that's Caitlin, was baptized with Mary. And that is Nancy Hart, who was a lifeguard. Nancy came and she volunteered to be a lifeguard because the YMCA required us to have a lifeguard if we were going to use their pool. So we did. And that was quite a day. Haley, I'm going to ask you just come up a second. Haley is one young lady who I've just admired through the years. And she actually recorded this testimony, but it didn't work out. So we're going to let her be live, okay? Haley, yep. Just say a word or two about your experiences here.
So I was a part of Salt and Light ever since we started in 2002, meeting in Marion's house. And then we moved over to the Santee Baptist Association, and it was really cool just hearing some of these things that he's talking about that I just kind of forgot and kind of pushed away, so that's really cool. Anyways, after we bought this building, a couple months later, I got baptized and, you know, sat down and said, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to be baptized. So, like he said, we went over and moved our service to the Y, got baptized, and that was just a really cool experience. And then I was a part of pretty much everything with Salt and Light. I helped with nursery. I helped with children's church. I helped with the youth. And then went away to college, and that was probably one of the hardest things for me to do, was to leave my church and to leave Salt and Light. That was a very trying time, just because I felt so loved and just felt like I had good support and good community. So while I was away at college, the church still was very kind, and I felt the love and was able to come back. And one of my favorite parts was being able to come back and just everything was, you know, normal, same family. anyways, when I came back, there was no doubt in my mind that I was going to come back to Salt and Light. And I continue to just love to see how people are serving. And I want to say it was 2017. I did an internship working with the church over the summer with the children in the youth program. It was just a wonderful experience, and I've been through a couple hard times, and you know, we all have hard times in our lives, but the church was definitely a big part in that and just kind of pointing me back to the Lord. And so all that to say, Salt and Light has been a blessing to me, and I know this is where I'm supposed to be, and just very grateful for everybody here, and just really appreciate everything that everybody's done, and know that the Lord, this is where I'm supposed to be, and I always see the Lord shining through everybody here, and it's just a blessing.
So, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. All right. We're just, but Haley is now teaching at Kingsbury. She graduated with a master's in December and got a job at Kingsbury, so we want to pray for her in her first year of work there. We'd be here all day if I continued to recognize people who've just been amazing to me. And I can tell you for a fact, I mean, many of y'all know me, right? And I don't have the abilities to do very much, okay? I honestly don't. But we can surround ourselves with people who do. And it is a blessing for me to get to work with Clay and Rodney. The fact that Clay came back after his stint for 10 years overseas and wanted to be back with us was just wonderful. And we're excited about the future. I'm extremely excited about the future and what God's got in store. But had all these people not said yes, we wouldn't be here today where we are. When you go in the fellowship hall today, if you will notice a blanket, Gwen Burke made a blanket of the original 9 families that helped us get started. So you might want to pay attention to that. There were some pockets behind it for us to put prayer cards in, and it was given to Clay and Catherine whenever they left to go overseas. So it's hanging back there. You might want to take a note of it. It's really a beautiful blanket, and they've treasured it for these years. I want to paraphrase another verse of that verse we looked at. This is the Message paraphrase. Whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. In Him, this is what we preach and pray, the great Amen. God's yes and our yes together, gloriously evident. God affirms us, making us a sure thing in Christ, putting His yes within us. By His Spirit, He has stamped us with His eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what He is designed to complete. Next slide, I ask a question. Well, here's from Proverbs. I want to share this. This is my D group that I'm a part of right now. This was our memory verse this week, and I failed to get it totally memorized, so I'm going to read it. I'm still working on it. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to Him. And y'all, through all that we've done here at Salt and Light, I do feel that God has issued a aura of protection over us. We could have had a lot of things go wrong, and God has blessed, and it's just been really, really, really good. David, why don't you come on up and let's burn this note. One of the things that I just did want to mention real quick is this past year, 2018, we took in our largest offerings. Over $146,000 was taken in. We exceeded our Lottie Moon offering goal of $12,000, which was the biggest goal we've ever had. We've given $7,800 to the cooperative program through South Carolina Baptist. We've given $3,369 locally to the Santee Association. And over $8,000 was given in other mission endeavors. So not only have we taken care of stuff here for us, but we have shared it with the world, which I believe is what God tells us to do. And David, you got anything to say about the note real quick?
You covered it, but I'll tell you, it sure was God's doing. Joyce said it wasn't you. It was your spouses all right along with the group that signed, because we were on the hook. And there's really no way when a bank underwrites a church, we missed every guideline that we need to do it. And so God was certainly involved in it. And there was times along the way that we were low on our account. pretty low, and Lord would provide. Somebody would make a donation to the building fund.
Yeah.
And something would happen. And so it's really just been a pleasure for me to be involved and a blessing. It humbles you. You see what everybody acting strives to do in their heart, how good it is. It's just been a real blessing for us. And really it kind of touched us at a good time. We were trying to start our family. And we were trying hard, but we weren't having any luck. And we were trying to start our family, and we couldn't get pregnant. And Stephanie started she was in a group with a Bible study about Abraham and Sarah and the faith of Sarah. And that was when we were over in the Santee building. And lo and behold, we got pregnant, and then right before Christmas miscarried, and then we had Sarah Emily. So Sarah Emily was the first child to be dedicated.
That's right.
In the church in this new building. That's right. So that's how it has impacted us so much. First
man.
And I got the note here in the mortgage. Signed by everybody. We're gonna crumple this up and burn it, and hopefully it won't burn down the building in the process. We borrowed $280,000. I think we actually purchased it for $315,000. It might have been $35,000 that we did. If I can confirm. And after the first 5 years, when it came up for renewal, we were able to stand on our own at that point. But during the beginning, we were on the hook. So it was a good thing.
Rodney, there you go. Amen. There you go. It's going to go.
I'm not an artist.
All right, while he's finishing that, I'm going to challenge you with a question. Back to my last slide. Are we willing to continue to say yes to God to anything He calls us to do, to be about? I invite you to be praying with me and us and you as we seek to know what it is that God has called us to do. Okay? Now, we've got a slideshow. You'll see David and some of those folks in there involved with that. We're going to watch this for the next few minutes.
strength, oh God, and courage to speak. Perform your wondrous deeds through those who are weak. Lord, use us as you want, whatever the test. By grace we'll preach your gospel till dying breath. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, so that everyone might know your name. Let your song
I've got to tell the world if he is God.
I miss something, or have I begun to lie? Do I really live like Jesus is alive? 'Cause if this is true, this changes everything. If this is real, then I've got to tell the world. If he is God, then I've got a choice to make. If I believe, then I must follow him. 'Cause this is true, and this changes everything. And this is real, so I've got to tell the world. He is God, and now there's a choice to make. If you believe, then you must follow him.
Fire department's on the way. Don't panic. We all love looking at those slides and being able to be a little bit nostalgic. But we have to be careful about memories, don't we? And not in the fact that they want us to go back and relive that moment. That moment, we can never relive it again. They're over. They're wonderful for what they do for us to remind us of where we've been and what God's done and what we've come through and that we can do it. But they're even more important as they remind us of those things were in a faith-filled future at one time. The yes to God as he nudged, as he prodded, as he loved us have led to now being able to look back, especially those baptisms. Being able to think about where some of those people are now and how they're leading. Not all, but some. That's what fuels me. And I have to remember, and I just, oh yeah. Hebrews chapter 11 is really about that. Just briefly, just to kind of bring us all together now and lead us in the future. Hebrews chapter 11 is really known as the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's where the writer of Hebrews, I believe, was Paul. It doesn't actually say it like many of his letters, but we believe that. And whoever, as a writer, as the Holy Spirit said through the writer of Hebrews, that in chapter 11, verse 1, it gives us a definition of faith. That faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Think about it now, piece by piece. Faith is the assurance, being sure of what hope for, and the conviction of things not seen. Conviction is a deep thing. Conviction is something that comes from deep in our heart and our spirit, not just in our mind, but the conviction of things that we haven't seen, can't see, without God won't see. Chapter 11 is a list of the heroes of faith, I guess you could say, the Hall of Fame of faith. I'm sure in those people's lives, as I remind you that some of those things we just saw are from Salt and Light's Godly Faith Hall of Fame. And you say, no, it really wasn't that. I'm sure if you interviewed the people from chapter 11, they would say, I didn't really think of myself, and I don't see it as a big thing I did. It was really hard, and I really struggled, and I really sometimes fail. But God was faithful. And you go through all that list of all those people from Abel, from Genesis and Abel and Abraham and Noah, and you move on through David and Isaac and the kings of Israel, and all the way down to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And verse 39 says, excluding Jesus or all the others, all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Interesting statement, isn't it? They were faithful in the thing they were led to do, but they never got to see all of what it was leading to, which ultimately was Jesus, but also about the church that Jesus would give birth to and that the Holy Spirit would use to continue the work of Jesus. Friends, the world still wants to see and does see Jesus through his body, through salt and light. And it won't happen just like it wouldn't have happened without faith and faithful people who say yes when they don't see the result, when they don't necessarily see the way, when they don't see the reward in their hands, but know that God is faithful to bring it about. Chapter 12, the next chapter, verse 1, says, therefore, that's tied together, you see it? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also, as these heroes did, these in that hall of fame, as they did, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and some translations say, and entangles us. And so let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You get the emphasis? It is mine, but I believe it's there. Let us run with endurance. It takes endurance. This is not a sprint. It is a long distance run. As long as it is till Jesus comes back. It really is an eternal work. And every investment we make in faith and in effort and in sweat and in prayer, it's not just about what God puts in our hands, but it's about what we don't even get to see. And your children and your grandchildren, and if Jesus doesn't come back soon, your great-grandchildren, it only takes a minute. Not just yours, but people who have yet to know Jesus, people who have yet been baptized, people who have yet even heard the gospel and understood it for the first time, here and around the world. That $12,000 we gave to missions this year, that's not just, you know, it is incredible that you gave that. But don't miss the incredibility of it is the eternity of God for countless lives where people who receive it can hear the gospel and then they can be faithful and they can be faithful and teach others to be faithful. That's why we have life groups. That's why we have D groups. That's why we pray that God will show us. Friends, this is such an important venture, such an important juncture in the story of Salt and Light. Because for one thing, it frees up resources. You've been faithful. Thank God. Thank you and thank God that he's allowed us to be faithful. That was a big responsibility. And now that he's been faithful through that, don't you suppose that the race that's set before us has something to do with what those resources now, which are freed up, what does God want to do with that money that we have rightly put into a building? We all have ideas. It doesn't matter nearly as much as what God's dreams are. And that's what we're going to do is pray about those things. What does our race look like? He says we need to check ourselves. We need to repent of, turn from, unentangle ourselves from the things that would get in the way. Selfish sin in my life, in all of our lives. I had to pray before I could even say it this morning. And I'll continue to have to pray about things in my own personal life that I've got to continue to work through Celebrate Recovery, through being in my D group and being called to accountability and reading God's Word and knowing that there are things that it deals with that I've got to say yes to God to remove it and let go of it, to be willing to say, you've got to take that, God, to deal with our sin and to commit ourselves wholeheartedly to run the race set before us, our race, not someone else's. So what does that race look like? We can't run it if we don't know the course. We don't have to know the whole course, but we do have to see as far as All right, where is it, God? Which direction do we head? What is it you want to do? And to be trusting Him as we do that. That's where we, as your leaders, are going to be asking you to pray about. Starting this morning. And some of you may have already been praying about it. We're going to have some directed time of prayer in just a moment after the song. And we're going to pray together. Not long, but just a few minutes. And we're going to keep praying. You heard about what a big part prayer has been in this church. And we have been convicted of that over the last several weeks in thinking about this service and thinking about the future and thinking about the fact that it's much bigger than how long Rodney may be here or Clay or Marion or these other elders, Dave and Stan and others may be here. This is about eternity. We've got to think about how do we prepare to move forward into that. So we're going to pray together about it.
Let's stand together and continue to worship the Lord. This song has really become a favorite of mine. I think it's a favorite of a lot of our folks in this church. Because what it says is that we realize that unless Christ is holding on to us, we're still hopelessly lost. But because He's holding on to us, we've got hope.
Hold me fast, hold my faith.
What we'd like to do right now is enter into a time of prayer together. I'm going to ask everybody to sit down except for the prayer leaders. I think that'll help you to kind of... So all the prayer leaders, if you would kind of look around the room and kind of where you are, the closest one to you, if you would sort of move that way towards them. So if you want to do that right now, prayer leaders, if you'll help them.
Way over here, over there.
Just gather around. And what we'll do is we'll pray together for a while. There's some three areas. One, we're going to be praying for vision. What is God's desire for this church in the days and weeks and months and years ahead? Discernment, you know, praying and asking God to help us see what that vision is, and commitment. And as we pray, Rodney will give us some prompts, and you'll know when we're done because you'll hear some music, and we'll end our time of prayer. Let me just say one more thing, as kind of a housekeeping. When we finish praying, don't rush to the... Let's just spend a little bit of time together and give the ladies back there a chance to get everything ready before you go back. But let's go ahead and enter into a time of prayer.
For the sake of time, just like Clay said, what we met with Clay said to let leaders start in the group, and then I will lead it on. you can do it. But we met with a leadership coach like a week or so ago, a great man of God, who it was not about details of leadership, it was about spiritual leadership. He said, the first thing we're going to do is pray. And he said, I want you to do something that may seem awkward, and I encourage you to at least imagine it if you don't feel comfortable doing it. But he said, I just want you to cup your hands in front of you and imagine what God's put in your hands. Mm-hmm. And I want you to keep praying and leading your people to pray, he said, to consider and make a list. What verses has he given me? What resources has he given me? What gifts, what skills, what time, what whatever has he given me? And now I need to pray through letting that go, letting God have that. And what sin do I need to let go of? But what's in our hands that God can use? And not about just salt and light, but wherever you are in your life, but especially in light of this ministry. And we thank you for those of you who've already been willing to do that. So let's pray about that. And I'll lead. We'll take turns. You can just pray. You can add to it. You can come back to it, or however you want to do it. You want to lead starts off?
Celebrate this time in the church's place, I am reflecting on where we started and how much I still remember the gentleman saying to us about reaching out to those at the other end of the pond. And here we stand 17 years later, and we're able to pray asking for you to show us how to keep moving in that, how to keep moving forward in that process, how to keep reaching those who are broken and looking for a way to find their way to you. And I thank you, Father, that it's just been one little step, one little day at a time, and just the consistency that you bring into our lives, the stability. I believe that even in my life and as a part of this church, that asking you to give me the courage to step out a little bit further in faith and bring us together in that process.
Lord, I just thank you, especially for the collective testimonies that you've given the individuals, especially in this church, but and that are here today. And Lord, the painful things that have shaped us, the struggles that have molded us, the lessons that we've learned, hard lessons, God, that we've learned. And we thank you that you didn't spare us from those things, but we pray that they wouldn't be wasted, God, that you would use them as you have done, that we won't forget that our healing is never just for ourselves, and these blessings are never just for us, but have a far greater potential impact. So thank you, God. Give, just pray that you'll just give. So as you continue to pray through those things, I just want you to think about the things that God's put in our hands, in your hand, but also the things that He's put into the hands of this church. What blessings, what opportunities, what gifts, what people, what resources. And then to be thinking, who are some people who need what God's given you in your hands individually? Some specific people, but some groups of people. Who are some people who need what He's giving and has given Salt and Light? Now let's pray for willingness for God to help, for God to help us with the willingness to release those things to Him, to make the commitments we need to make, to move toward letting go of things, but also taking hold of things that we need to use in others' lives. What would it take to hand over or to let go or to serve others with those things He's put in our hands? What adjustments will it require? What sacrifices? What commitments?
part of this church many, many years ago. And so I could come back and just walk right in. I love it. It's like coming to you. And I thank you. Thank you that they've always been there for me. I love you, Lord. I love you for helping the church.
So as you kind of begin to wrap this up, we do have to eat at some point today. And that's going to continue to be a celebration. Don't rush it. But we just want to, I'll close this now. I'll close this time. You continue if you need to, but I'm just going to go ahead and pray. Close in prayer, and we're going to sing the last verse of that song, and we'll be done. But in thanking God for the food, we're so thankful that all of you are here. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being a good, good Father. Thank you for the new life you've given all of who've called upon you and looked to you and surrendered to you. Lord, we have trusted you, and yet, Lord, help our unbelief. Continue to help us to dream your dreams. Cause us to. Continue to use this church for your glory. We thank you for even the time of fellowship that we have and the food we can share today that is representative of so much more that we share, and especially the fellowship of your Spirit. But Lord, we just pray that the strength that comes from even this food, you would use it in this time together. And as we leave here, Lord, that you would use it to your glory. You deserve it, and we thank you for letting us be a part of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Just stay where you are and let's sing.
Visit a minute so they can be ready for you in the back.
Me too, Rodney. Me too. I'm sitting
here. I told you how happy I am that you're back. It would be weird. So just know it. Let's know it. I'll just. That's enough.
Even though I'm not a member of this church,
I
am. You know what I mean?
When you said we, I'm glad she thinks that way. I really am.
I
know.
My daughter and her husband. Opening the orphanage in Wedgefield Baptist.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I believe that the reason I say that is
it's all a part of the kingdom.
It's all a part because I don't think
what God
my
did
child
here
would make those decisions that she